Hey, patrons, welcome to Post Show here for episode 69. I hope it was
man,
good.
Man, there's a tiny moon in
sex.
Orbit around the eye roll of that.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. next week is episode 70. I might actually be in my new office next week, which is exciting because there's no more AC. Can you guys hear that AC exciting. Buzz at all on your end or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I said nothing about it, but
yeah,
because I knew you couldn't do anything about it, so I was just like, okay.
I talked.
Yeah,
about
it's not so bad, but yeah,
yeah, yeah. So hopefully that gets fixed. Another thing that I'm excited about that no one else will care. I'm gonna move the program that we use to set up the call, since it sends that stuff to XSplit over NDI. I'm gonna put that on my other PC, so you guys will be right where I look in the fucking camera. And I'll no longer have to do this fucking weird shit where I stare over here anymore. And that's going to make a difference to like two people, but it'll be great. It'll change. It'll change their life.
Psychologically, it's pretty different. Yeah. Like I would love it if I could have the cam stuff like right here on like a monitor.
Yeah.
Like that intersects my camera, because then, yeah, there's like, I look at the camera when I'm addressing chat, but when I'm listening to you guys, I have to turn, and then it looks like I'm not paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And while we feel like, oh, nobody will notice that, I mean, shit, no one here has ever been on a role-playing show where someone in the audience hasn't been like, they're not having fun, they look bored, whatever. And it's like, look, we got a lot of shit to look at, and there's a lot going on. We can't just be like, the whole episode. Great. We're having a good time.
Yeah.
We should have to look over here, and the game is here, and like I have to move my head, fuck off for a second.
Yeah.
But it's you, like you think about it. You're like, okay, what is it? What do I look like on screen right now? And having the camera and having the game in front of you, totally makes a difference. Yeah.
Yeah, it should be exciting. Yeah. But yeah, that's next week. That's hopefully, maybe the week after. I don't know. It depends when they. You have to have someone like come in and they have to be like, no, this is actually a good construction job. Good job. And they like pat each other on the back and then they leave your house for some reason. So that has to happen next week.
We'll
see if the house gets approved, which I'm sure it's going to. And then hopefully I can move in. But anyways, about the episode, I had a lot of fun on today's episode.
Good.
Yeah. Jumping ahead a little bit, Adam was the thief encounter supposed to be a fight and we just kind of not made it a fight? Or...
So as far as prep goes for today's episode, I did not have anything specific prepped. Okay. I had some general shit that I knew was going on. And so the vision with Agni and the encounter with the thieves and the vision of the, and like Calimat looking around the city, like all that stuff, I was just winging it. Not in the sense that I made it up like wholesale, but my notes were just like, this is what's happening in the City of Brass right now, and then I will like let you see bits and pieces of those, and that's usually how I GM for the most part.
Yeah.
So it could have turned into a fight. Like, it wouldn't have been that hard for me to grab some thugs and a wizard and an acolyte or whatever and have you fight them, but mainly it was like, stuff's going on, some dudes sneaking around in the back alleys of the rich neighborhood, wonder what they're up to. And had you just been like, you know what, we're gonna avoid them and not find out what that was about, that would have been okay too. Like, it just would have meant I would have checked a box on a list and we would have moved on.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm glad that you engaged with it a little bit.
I caught a sparkle in your eye when I did a little bit of the thieves cant. You're like, okay.
Well, so that particularly I thought was really cool because it's the first time we'd seen that ability. And thieves cant is a fun thing to role play because it's not like I say this in Elven. I like doing language stuff in games. JP, you'll remember the first time we had a conversation on Mirror Shades about Sporethiel, and then Dodger and I did the like, in Sporethiel I say this, and it's like we did the really long-winded like thing. And we've done a bit of it on this show too, with like Mod trying to explain to you like, in my culture we refer to ourselves by pointing at our hand, not at our face. That kind of stuff is fascinating to me, so I like those little details. So when you brought up the thieves cant, I was like, oh cool, let's see what this is about. Let's try this out.
Yeah, yeah, that stuff was cool. I think Kali, you've probably used that in our travels together, but that might have been the first time you kind of used it with Ramus and Berg around.
Right. Yeah.
Because I was gonna like make a note to be like, Kali, what language are you speaking? But then I was like, well, no, he's fucking traveled with him. He knows
yeah.
that exists, and it's not something it's probably like beneath me to learn it.
No, I kind of picture
criminal
like,
gutter talk.
Yeah, I kind of picture it like that scene in The Departed, where he's like, "I bet you had two fucking families, huh? You go across the tracks, you start dropping your R's and you know all that shit. Like, go to Southie and you start talking this way."
Yep. Yeah, that's how I envision that. And then I kind of just want to jump to the end, although there's some other bits we'll cover, but. When you crit that, my immediate reaction was not, oh, God, he knows Ramus is lying. It's, oh, God, Collie and I just had a conversation about how being a friend to another person is important, blah, 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 blah. And I literally just fucking didn't, like, care for it at all. So yeah. I was expecting, like, oh, no, I just got fucked over again. It's going to ruin me, but... Thankfully, you didn't touch on that just then. I think you were more privy to being upset at Ramus in that moment. But I'll get mine, I'm sure.
It's a keep your friends close, man.
Yeah.
Keep your enemies closer. And the thing is, the way it was constructed, the way that conversation went down, it was tough. It was tough for Kalimat to deny the logic behind it, the reasoning. I think he understands reasoning. Doesn't mean he likes it, but like the tower in and of itself, there's no evil in the tower. The tower is a work of destruction for creation. Like you have to have a forest fire is terrible and frightening, but it also like opens up the fucking bottom the forest for new life to sprout. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I've heard somewhere, like certain pine cones need heat to open up and, you know, seed and shit like that. So I get that. Doesn't make me like it. But it's nice to have like, a little thing, little secret to myself so I can, you know, maybe use it at some point in the future.
Yeah. And that was definitely something that I did was, like, made sure Ramus knew that I knew that he was lying and just kind of, like, fighting over someone. But I feel like me and Ramus have kind of played those games already in that sense.
Yeah.
So
you and I have like a, we're always trying to one up each other kind of thing. Like we're always trying to outsmart or outwit each other or show how superior we are to the other person in a different way. It's, I like that rivalry thing that we got going on.
Yeah. I think Zeke, I don't know if you took this from someone in chat from recent weeks or if this was just something you said off the cuff, but you said thoughts and prayers, and I was like, oh my God, that's me and Ramus's buddy cop movie. Like, that's the name.
Yeah. That's been the secret, been the thing? Secret code for Ramus and Sully since the live show.
Okay. All right.
I made an offhand comment about how it's, thoughts and prayers. And I think it's when your little quest started, when you were like, I need to figure out how his magic works. And yeah, that's totally the like goofy buddy cop. Like, He's a priest with nothing to prove, and he's a turtle who can't stop asking questions. Together, they fight crime. It's thoughts and prayer.
If that wasn't so politically charged, I'd have shirts made.
Previously
on thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. Anyone that wears that shirt in public is eventually just going to get punched in the face by one side. So I'm not going to buy.
Like, it's not a good time for that context. We understand it, but...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I thought that was really fun. And then, Berg, we had a little bit of... And I'm glad you weren't just like, oh, Sally, I'm glad you made... You came around and realized... Mm-hmm. You're like, no, fuck good. You. Fuck yourself.
Yeah. No, Berg's still been mad. He just hasn't... He hasn't really addressed it or let any of it out because it didn't serve any of their purposes.
Yeah,
like there wasn't any kind of break, and this is the first time that there was a break. You're like, no, I want to talk about it. I'm like, Berg doesn't want to talk to you. No, I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I felt, what was the word? Someone in chat, like, knew exactly why I was saying the things I was saying as a character, and I was like, fuck yeah. I'm like, I actually conveyed the fact that Sully might be a little bit autistic feeling. In a sense. Like, he doesn't understand why this matters at all. And I was like, oh my God, I actually nailed that. That's cool. So that was like kind of gratifying to feel for sure.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I've noticed that too. Like there have been folks who have mentioned in chat, like they see that behavior and they recognize what you're doing. It's interesting. It's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that conversation that me and Kali had, like, I definitely think as a character, like, Solly understands what you're saying and he understands why it matters to other people. But the important thing to Solly in your conversation was that it makes logical sense to put Berg in between himself and something else that's coming at him. And if it means that I have to, if Solly has to, you know, throw emotions into that mix to get Berg back in between things, then that's something that needs to happen. And so I don't know if that's what you intended by that conversation. It's probably not at all.
It's not at all, no.
Yeah.
And the more interaction I have with Solly Hoffa, the more, and I'm not sure which is the proper term.
Yeah.
But the more interaction I have with Solly Hoffa, he's either a psychopath or a sociopath, which is like American Psycho. It's like you only have like two emotions, like disgust and, you know, whatever knowledge gives you, revelation or whatever.
Right.
Like those are the two emotions that you feel and that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's other things that I've thought about like bringing in, but I was like, no, let's just keep it simple right now. There's no need to like go fucking crazy with it.
I like, well, and this is a thing that I think D&D and like most fantasy stuff like this is pretty horseshit at. And that's that a turtle and a dwarf and a dragonborn and a human and an orc and all of this stuff, they're all pretty much just humans with like funny costumes on, right? Like,
yeah.
The more alien their culture, the more it feels real to me, where I'm like, oh, turtles are like strange in this way that they experience like emotion differently than a human would, because they're different. Their culture is different. Their biology is different. They're a sapient, sentient species that evolved in a different way than humans. Like, of course they'd be really different. And so I love when that stuff comes up, when it's not just like Star Trek, where it's like, Klingons are like humans, but angry and have a bumpy forehead. So, I like aliens. I like the Hanar and shit. I like aliens that are like, oh, I cannot understand you at all because you're an alien.
Yeah.
That stuff is cool. And so it's cool seeing that in D&D when a character is like, yeah, this is what my people are like. And I get that you don't get that because your character is also very different. That kind of stuff is cool.
Yeah.
I also like playing off the fact that Solly seems to not have a sense of humor. Like,
right. And that's the funny part about him. Yeah, exactly. And I love like RPing that way. Cause like the entire conversation we had with Ramus, like there was never a smile or any, like it was completely deadpan as a character. But as me playing it, like I'm laughing because of how crazy it probably looks and sounds. I enjoy doing that stuff. And I think I've always enjoyed doing that with any character that I play, is finding like the humorous aspect of it. Cause I'm not just going to be, I think in like the first couple of episodes, when I was playing Solly, I was like just really monotonous and just kind of like boring. And then I was like, well, I can have fun with this cause I can be boring as a character, but as a player, I can have fun. And so then I started having fun.
Yeah, and that's the challenge, right? Like playing a character that is fun for you to play and for everyone else to have in the party, but the character themselves isn't like a fun person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think like everyone does a good job with that. Like Berg, or Max plays Berg, like is a very solemn, like serious character, but then he has a dream with Agni and it's the complete opposite of that.
And it's I love that bit. I love that bit with Agni and Berg because like Agni doesn't know what to do with like someone who's connected to her either. Like there are no gods. Like there used to be 10,000 years ago, people who like worshipped the divine spirits in a very direct way. And characters like Imix would have like given them power. And Agni existed after that. She isn't used to it. So having Berg show up, she's like, Oh, this is a prophetic dream. I'm supposed to tell you something and I don't know how to do this. Nobody prepared me for this.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun having that interaction. I like that.
Yeah. That was super fun. I think in terms of the characters, the four of us, Kalimat is like malleable in a sense. Like he's still being molded into what type of person you are because of everything else happening around you, with like Ramis fucking just straight up lying to you, but you understanding that he's lying to you because he needs Berg to just fucking move on and there's no other way. And so now you have to deal with that while the rest of us are just like set in stone and set on our path. And you're just being like, oh fuck. Like I understand but that sucks, et cetera.
It comes with being the person. And like, I think Berg is the only character that is even anywhere close to having as much emotion as Calumet has.
Yeah.
Calumet thinks like leads with his heart and not with his mind or anything like that. And I think Berg does that as well to a degree. But I agree with you that I think Calumet is more more open to change how he thinks and how he acts depending on the group he's with and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm. And I think, Dan, you do a great job. Even like, you don't even make it apparent. You don't make your reasonings for your actions allowed. But then you have a conversation where you get caught and you explain to Kali why you did what you did. I'm like, oh, well, that's perfectly in line with the tower. And it makes perfect sense why you would do that, even if it is just you being an asshole to other players.
Well, and it's fascinating. Yeah. It's really fascinating watching the very subtle characterization that's emerged for Ramis, where, you know, it's really easy to play a character who's like a cleric, but is really a charlatan, right? Somebody who's like, I don't really believe what I believe. I'm just doing it for myself. It's also really easy to play a character who's like a fundamentalist type cleric, who's like, I only believe what my god says. But it's very, very difficult and speaks to Dan's skill as a player to play someone who is both a totally self-interested charlatan and someone who's legitimately faithful and believes in their god, right? Where it's like you're managing to do both.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool, and I love seeing the way those things emerge as we play.
Yeah,
it's been fun playing Ramis because he's such a complex character where you both hate him and you love him and you need him and you don't want him around at the same time. He's a fun mixed bag of emotions and try to like justify his evil actions in a good way, which makes it more interesting than it just being just a bad move or just evil or just positive, but to like make it really murky about why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah and I think your actions mean different things to different people. Like Calumet probably was first upset when he found out he lied, but now he's like, oh shit, he's actually, like I said, doing this for Berg. Would just be upset at you because you lied to him and everyone around him is lying to him for whatever reason or doing things that he doesn't want done. And then I look at that, I'm just like, oh, well, that just makes sense. Like that's why I didn't say anything. It's like, oh, okay, sure, why not? And so I think that's something that's really cool, to have a character that makes sense for everyone else's character to believe him for three completely different reasons. So that's a lot of fun to be able to play with each week, for sure. Yeah, I don't... Any other... What else happened? We had the thief stuff. We had the stuff at the end.
The I saw the guy.
That was a little terrifying.
That's an inner struggle that I'm going to have to to act on, and I don't know what I'm going to do with that because I'm not just forgetting. For anybody out there, I have not forgotten that. I'm just wondering what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if you're going to have to like come clean with your group, with the group, and be like, listen, we need to go to this incredibly dangerous place because I need to know this. Or if you're going to find an opportunity to like trick them to be like, come on, I'm leading you somewhere safe. And you're like, sorry, guys, here we are. You know, I'm super interested in seeing where that goes.
Yeah. I think Solid's getting more and more disinterested in the city, especially with that. Oh, that we didn't, the ley line stuff, like. Mm-hmm. I think that I don't know if I expressed it enough in character, but like that's a fucking big deal. And like it further pushes my agenda or Sally's agenda to just leave. So we might have like a little bit of a struggle between me and you, Zeke, when we get to the tower and you're like, let's go talk to these guys. And I'm like, let's fucking leave. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know how that's going to happen. And then you got to keep in mind that our tarot cards that we rode, or not rode, pulled.
Mm-hmm.
Something's got to go at the end. And that's I've been really thinking about that.
Honestly, the Hermit is fucking with me right now because it's saying, like, maybe I sneak off in the middle of the night and go find the oubliette guy.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of shit. Yeah. Like, that might be coming. Like, the cards might say, like, listen, you're supposed to do this.
Yeah. To me, I think the Hermit represented us leaving the city. So that's what I'm pulling for, is like that's the thing that's supposed to get out, is the city's supposed to be gone. That'll be a fun conversation, I think, because everyone views those cards differently, right? I'm not even sure how Berg or Ramus would view those cards. Maybe for Berg, it's the kid, right? Maybe the fucking leaving or bits of his past, or I don't know. You guys probably have your own answers for that stuff, so.
Yeah.
Well, and also, like, who knows how powerful this thing is? Maybe I can enlist him to help me find the kid. Who knows?
I'd be very surprised if he was one to be like, oh, yeah, let's find that kid together, Calumet.
I freed him, man.
Sorry.
I freed him, man.
Oh, damn. You don't want to hurt anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, fucking somebody's got to be helpful. Like, I've met absolutely no one that's fucking helpful in this goddamn entire city. Like, everybody wants to fuck you over, and no one is nice or helpful.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe he will.
There was
maybe
a nice car man that was super nice and helpful, and then we got him killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
Who was that? I'm sorry. Well, who was that?
The unicorn guy. Remember how he was all super helpful and healed us? Yeah. And we got him murdered. Yeah. Yeah.
Then somebody freed a horrific, monstrous thing that killed him. So. Yeah, it's good. Things are going great.
Yeah, we're still not sure if that was my fault or not.
No. I think we're getting closer to answering it, though.
You're getting closer to finding out, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think we talked about this last week, but next couple episodes, I think we'll, in one way or the other, be getting the fuck out of the City of the Brass. Whether it's making us leave or whether we're leaving on our own agenda, we're going to be done with it.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked.
Yeah. Or leaving via the wheel of life.
Sure, yeah, that too. Yes. That too. I think the more I'm remembering the stuff about the ley lines, like, that's probably going to become a goal. Like, that's pretty significant, I think, to any wizard to realize what the fuck's happening.
What's going on in the city kind of reminds me of us in the wizard realm, where it feels like there's powerful forces going on that we really can't stop our power level, or we're not really strong enough to, like, take on all of the Farang by ourselves or something. You know, it's like we have to force the leap and come back later heroically with an army to take out the Farang later in the story or something.
Yeah, fuck. Well,
Or like, alternately, you're doing the thing that PCs do where you're gonna find the fucking dam with the plug in it and be like, I wonder what would happen if I just yank this out. Like, PCs almost universally make things worse, not better, which is great. It's super fun and cool, but yeah, I have this distinct feeling that, like, that's likely there'll be an opportunity for you to be like, make this worse.
Wow, look at that weapon just sitting there.
What do you mean, like, say perhaps releasing some mysterious powerful stranger out of a wizard's prison?
Hey, now if he's just hanging out in town, you might as well go say hi and be like, how else can I help you, my dark overlord?
Yeah, we never really, like, as characters, did we ever, like, have a discussion about that, Zeke, as to what you actually did?
I think it was like someone mentioned it and then it was like, do not talk about this, like, shush.
Yep.
I think that was Hassan
told you to shut the fuck up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If that's true, you don't want anybody to know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Or you don't even want to utter those words because someone might be listening or something like that. Yeah. All right. Well, Zeke, we're going to miss you on Friday, but we'll do our best to carry on. We got to get a stand-in Zeke. I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what that is. I don't know if I could pull that off, but we'll see. We'll see.
And again, I just want to say this is not a decision I made lightly. It was just, I mean,
no, I mean, yeah,
I think that's why we're giving you so much shit, because you actually,
I was gonna say, we're making jokes, Yeah, we're making jokes and stuff, but if we were actually upset about it, I feel like we would just be like, okay, Zeke, fine. And then just shut up about it and not say anything. Yeah. And be like, all right, man, whatever, you just do you. But you yes, it's really hard to be away from the channel for a long time, and you gotta make these calls. So yeah. you'll be sorely missed. We'll be thinking about you.
Yep. And then hopefully we'll fucking have some more shows sometime in April. If we could figure out who the fuck
for patrons who may not know this, there is not a calendar day that goes by where either JP or I send each other a Slack message. It's like, we gotta do the fucking show.
Like, that's not from lack of laziness. It's literally like, who haven't we talked to?
Yeah, like, please, everyone we want on the show has not been available, and we're trying really hard. So
yeah,
it's killing us. It's killing us slowly. We're dying on the inside. We want to do these goddamn shows so bad. So we want to do them right. So we're not. We're working.
But we'll have six of those people announced on Friday. So that'll be fun. But anyways, and then we got to do a Q&A, by the way. We got to schedule a Q&A for next week sometime.
We do, yeah.
So we'll get that figured out.
That's true.
But anyways, that's it for now. We'll see you guys next week for more Court of Swords on Tuesday, if we don't see you Friday at PAX. And I'll try to get that VOD from PAX, although that's always a fucking nightmare, so I don't know how that's actually going to happen. But I'll try. I'll try my best. So
that's
it. Thanks for your support, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody.